Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today, we have Eric Chang as a guest. Eric is the English ministry pastor of the Connect Church in Cary, North Carolina. Hello, Eric. How are you?
Hey, Sammy. It's good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm so excited to get to know you, your personal story, and your ministries, and your future visions.
Yeah.
So today is the first episode, so we're going to listen to your personal story. You're not originally from North Carolina. Are you?
No, I grew up in Michigan really most of my life. During the college years, I was out of state, two different states, and then have moved around a lot until I came to North Carolina, most recently from Georgia, so in the Atlanta area.
Yeah. Okay, so this is your first time living in North Carolina.
Yeah, you know, it's my first time here for any extended period of time. I visited a couple times for some things over the years, but I've always very much liked North Carolina, so I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, great. How long have you lived here?
We just moved here July 1st, so it's been a little over 4 months now. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, time's really flying. 5 months, excuse me.
Yeah. So how do you like here?
It's familiar to me in a lot of ways, I think, because it's similar to Michigan, maybe not quite as cold. It's definitely a little hotter in the summer, but I love the trees and the terrain and everything, and and so I like being back in a four seasons world. So
yeah. I mean, today is pretty cold. Today is December 6th, I guess. And does this remind you of Michigan?
Yeah, is it pretty, you know, anything above freezing is fine for me, because you know, it's just when you can't blink because your tears are freezing up, that then you know it's cold. So you know, if it doesn't burn your skin from frostbite. So, no, I the thing I actually probably want more of is probably more snow. But I know it's tough to drive around these mountains and hills. So,
Yeah. Well, welcome to North Carolina.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, good. Well, Eric, can you tell us about your family?
I grew up in a small sort of nuclear family, one sister, year younger, and my parents came actually originally to Nova Scotia, Canada, and they landed in Halifax, and my dad was there for a couple of years before he moved over to the Detroit area. He's a doctor, and so he set up a practice actually in Lansing, Michigan. That's where pretty much I grew up. I was born in Detroit, and we quickly moved about a year and a half to the Lansing area, and grew up there. And then after graduating high school, went off to college and stuff. But my mom was pretty much just a stay-at-home mom. She worked part-time here and there, sometimes at the hospital and in my dad's office. You know, I think probably the interesting thing about my family, this came a lot later on. I found out that I'm either fourth or fifth generation Christian. Yeah, it goes back quite a ways. And that's on my mom's side. And my father's side has Christian heritage too, and they fled North Korea and saw the whole post-war time period. You know, the Lord was really good to them. My dad basically said, you know, I would love, my dream would be to just come here, own a little house, and have a VW Beetle. and I think he far exceeded that, and he's just really, really thankful to the Lord, because at the time he wasn't a believer. He grew up in a Christian home. My mother was a believer, but they recommitted their lives to Christ a little bit later on, after I was born.
Now, how did you become a follower of Christ?
And actually that's all in the same context too, because my parents were led to the Lord by a pastor named John Song, and he had originally planted three churches in Michigan while he was a seminary student, very active guy. And we started out as a Bible study, and then my parents accepted Christ. And while they were attending this Bible study that eventually became a church, meeting inside this predominantly Caucasian American church, it was Baptist, they ended up planting me into the children's ministry on the American church side. And come to find out, I'm pretty sure that I'd accepted Christ shortly before they had, or right around that time. And for me, it was very simple. I was sitting in Sunday school, and a teacher asked if I wanted to accept Christ. At the time, I was about 4 or 5 years old and didn't understand a whole lot of English, really virtually none, but I understood enough to understand sin and hell and forgiveness and Christ dying for me and eternal life. And so I accepted Christ then. And I don't remember the teacher, but I do remember running down the hallway. And then I got to my parents. After running down the hallway, I hugged them, but then I couldn't explain to them what I had done. But that still stuck with me, and it took a lot of years to fill in, to grow as a Christian, and learned a lot of Bible stories, had a lot of great Christmas and church programs and pastors and Bible studies and camps, retreats, and such.
How did you sense God's calling in your life to become a pastor?
I think being in an Asian family, it was still a really a difficult challenge for my parents to accept that I might be called into ministry. So it didn't come till quite a bit later. But the aspects of sort of the pre-call, where God gives sort of indicators or sets things up or circumstances, was even as early as in fourth or fifth grade. Now, I remember sitting and just soaking in the preaching that I was sitting under and the teaching and learning. And, you know, there's memorization and learning Bible stories and all these different things. But as I was growing, even at that time in fourth and fifth grade, I realized I was sitting in the pews and I was actually sort of following, sometimes taking notes, but also critiquing. Messages and thinking to myself, wow, you know, if I were to preach that, I think I would do it this way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I there wasn't this attitude of saying they're doing it all wrong, but it was just, yeah, and so that was one thing. And even in high school, just the desire to do ministry and minister to the youth group that I was in, even though I was an extremely shy kid and even entered, they had back then, so this tell you sort of old school, how old school it was, but they had preaching competitions. And so I had joined a few of those. And yeah, I think the Lord gave lots of evidence along the way. And eventually when I was called, the senior pastor of a Korean church that I had started working at, and by the way, I'd never even stepped into a Korean church before. I was probably, I guess I was 25. Before I had ever stepped foot into a Korean church. I've been around Korean people, seen lots of Bible studies, talked with folks, and mostly from when my parents had them over to our house, but I'd never been to a Korean church. And so when I stepped in, I was just floored. I was like, oh my goodness, there's so much need here. And then by the time I hit 29, the senior pastor of the Korean church came to St. Eric, and Pastor Cho was really gracious. He just said to me, Eric, you know, we see you love God, we see you love the Bible, we see you have a heart for ministry, can we send you to seminary and then, you know, call you into some form of ministry? And so at the time I was like, okay, I'll think about it. And 10 months later, I started seminary and started serving at a Korean church. And I think one of the most important things about calling is that there is an absolute sense where there is a call. And it comes in a lot of different forms. You look at the Bible, all the prophets, each of them were very unique, and their calling is equally so. But the other thing that happens, I think, with calling is that you develop that over time. You know, we're growing as Christians, and calling has to develop, and the sense of who you are intermingles with the process of just figuring out what God is calling you for. Because if he's truly provident and sovereign in all the things that he does, what he provides will fit with what is the need. And a lot of times the need is what shapes us, but sometimes what we are takes some time to develop. So, Yeah, so that was, I guess, my sense of calling. That's a really kind of long conversation, maybe just put shortly.
What's your life verse?
Very early on, actually, probably in high school, I was really captivated by Psalm 37, verse 23 through 25. And I memorized it back in the day in King James. So it's the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I once was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the Lord forsaken. And that verse to me is just really about the process, just taking steps. And, you know, there's mistakes, there's times we stumble, but we, by God's goodness and grace, continue to follow him. And Amen. That's, I guess, the story of my journey. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Now, how is your life growing as a second generation Korean American?
Growing up, you mean? Yeah. For me, I grew up in the Midwest in Michigan. It wasn't an especially large Korean community, so I was surrounded essentially by non-Koreans, mostly Caucasians. Things I think were pretty simple. Living in the Midwest, a lot of Midwesterners are not real flashy, I don't think, and kind of humble beginnings. And there were, of course, there were still some challenges and struggles, but, my sense of second-generation Korean identity was really more sort of neutral to negative, thinking like, well, what have Koreans ever really done for me? My parents left that all behind and started this new life, and they worked hard, and I just remember getting, my hair messed up and people patting me on the back and, almost punching me in the arm, kind of saying, you need to learn Korean and all these things. And I understood, I guess, very early on that who I was and my identity wasn't necessarily, that's not my primary identity. And the people that I love, the people that I respected, the people that challenged me to grow, they were Christians. And so that, I think, played a really, really different role in my life. So even entering into the Korean church at age 25, it was shocking just to see where things were, but also like aspects that were so very Korean. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is not biblical, I think. And come to realize that some of it is just a cultural thing where it has to be some way or another. But some of it truly was, I think, an area that the church needs to continue to grow. So, yeah, second generation Korean identity, it's sort of a floating island. I mean, that's a really, that's a whole other topic of discussion, because it's between two cultures that are also moving. So you have an identity that's contingent upon where the American culture is or where the originating culture.
We're going to see more of your ministry in a Korean church context, but before we go into that, I'm just curious. So going to a Korean church for you is not necessarily because of your Korean identity, but it's more of a need of Korean churches.
Over the years, I'd say that was originally how it started, but over as time went on, I realized there are distinct advantages that I can leverage on my identity. And probably anything, even though I had that desire to minister, I think more and more lately I'm realizing also that I'm very not Korean, very second generation, very Americanized in a good number of ways. And in that sense, it's sort of isolating. At the end of the day, we have our faith and we can cling to God, and we have a wonderful opportunity to touch into two different worlds or multiple worlds these days. So it's really neat to think of where God has placed me. Yeah.
Great. My last question for you is, what are you most passionate about?
When I look at my life, I'd say that probably the simplest way to summarize it, which is probably oversimplifying it, is, and I told you that story when I was in fourth or fifth grade, and I'm sitting in the pews critiquing messages. And by the way, the senior pastor that I served under was really quite good. He was a great preacher. He wasn't well known because he didn't publish a lot of books, but he did do quite well. And what I see is that I have that same sort of desire to preach. And really what it is a desire to illuminate God's word and then help people grow, not just in a generic grow sense, but with a lot of depth and maturity. And so discipleship and teaching and preaching, those are a lot of my very strong passions. Mm-hmm. That's I guess really the strongest heartbeat that I have. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Sam.
Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministry Session Podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.